If you're not already in Genesis chapter 18, please turn there. We've been going through the epistles of 1 Peter, and we'll probably be back there next Sunday. It's always good to know and understand the many needs that are in a church. And last week we looked at teaching through trials, and we saw especially the education, the experience that we get for our benefit in those things. And today's message, pretty simple. The title is pretty much out of the scriptures, and is anything too hard for the Lord? Or how I've titled it is, what can't the Lord do? What can't the Lord do? Now, this chapter of scripture shows us the results of an obedient and separated walk. Now, Revelation 3:20, we read, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." And John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Now, from those two scriptures, we learn that the obedient Christian enjoys a character of communion than those who move in a more worldly atmosphere do not enjoy. This has nothing to do at all with the salvation of a believer, nothing to do at all with their position in the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing to do with forgiveness or justification with God. Eternal life and salvation comes from God in heaven, and it belongs to every born-again believer. There are no favorites concerning the salvation of a soul. All are saved the same way by believing in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what we need to remember is that being justified is one thing, and that the fruit of justification is another. To be a child is one thing, to be an obedient child, quite another. You know, an obedient child enjoys, how would I put this, a relationship in a different way than a disobedient child does. The love is no different. The place in the family never changes. But the relationship is a bit different. And I'm not telling anyone anything they don't already know. And this is true in reference to our Heavenly Father. Without any doubt at all, John 14:23, he puts that beyond any reasonable doubt. To say we love God and not keep his words is what we call hypocrisy. If a man love me, Jesus said, he will keep my words. And that being so, if we're not keeping Christ's words, then that's sure proof we're not walking in the love of his name. You know, love to Christ is proved by doing the things he commands, not just saying, "Lord, Lord." It means little to say, "Oh, I go, sir," while the heart has no thought at all of going anywhere. Now, I say this because in Abraham, we see one who, however he may have failed in details, he was nevertheless characterized in the main by a close, a simple, an elevated walk with God. And that's the walk the Lord wants us to have with him, a close and simple, elevated walk. One that's real, one that's personal, one that knows his presence amongst us. And we see in this chapter Abraham enjoying three very special privileges. First, in verses 4 to 8, he was able to provide food and drinks for the Lord. Second, he enjoyed full communion with the Lord, verses 13 to 15. And also he had in verses 22 to 23 the privilege to intercede for others. That's a wonderful chapter. It's a wonderful mark. Then those three things are a real mark of honor. They are very special privileges, yet they are only the result of an obedient and separated walk. You see, obedience has a very special place in the heart of God. God gave testimony to that in Matthew chapter 3 and Matthew 17 when he said, "In this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You see, only Christ was perfect, and we're not asked to be perfect, but we are asked to be obedient. And we can be obedient. As we see in Abraham, and we look at others all down through history, through the Bible, you look at the Fox's Book of Martyrs, even up to today. People have been obedient down through history. Not perfect, but obedient. Now we have in our text today three heavenly men, a picture of the triune God. We call them theophanies in the Old Testament. That's when the appearance of God was in a visible form. And these men appear to Abraham in this chapter. And they appear to announce Sodom's destruction and to reconfirm a great covenant and a great promise that God made to Abraham. Now, we're only going to be looking at one part of that this morning. So starting at verse 9, I want to read through to verse 15. And they said unto him, that's the three men, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent. Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, with Sarah after the manner of women." Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Then Sarah denied, saying, "I laugh not," for she was afraid. And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." We see a question being posed here, and there's a few questions in this chapter, but we see a question being posed here, and it is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, God's word has all the answers to questions that are to do with life and with death, and you can believe that or not. I choose to believe that as a fact. I believe every word that God says in his Bible, will be no point studying it and living by it. But the answer to that question we find in Jeremiah 32, 17. "Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." See, the Lord asks, "Is there anything too hard for thee?" He answers, "There is nothing too hard for thee." There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Remember when Mary and the angel visited Mary and to tell her that she was going to conceive and bear God's son? And Luke 1:37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary responds, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." The Lord's discourse with the rich young ruler and his question of eternal life and the disciples' question of, well, who can enter into heaven and who can be saved? And the Lord says in Matthew 19:26, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." There was a young boy in Mark chapter 9 with the unclean spirit. Jesus said unto him, "If thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straight away the father of the child cried out and said, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." And maybe that's something we need to ask the Lord when it comes to the needs in our life and the things we are going through. Maybe that's a question we need to ask him. Lord, help thou my unbelief. Because is anything too hard for the Lord? That's the question you've got to ask. And we need to believe that to the day that can't God do anything? Of course he can. We need to believe it wholeheartedly. If there's anything on your heart today, anything you want God to do for you today, is there? Any hard situation, any difficult situation that you are facing? Are there problems that are pressing down upon your Christian life? Well, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is there a burden on our heart of a loved one or a friend who's unsaved? We're trying to get them to come to Christ. Well, there's nothing too hard for the Lord, is there? Is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, there's times I've been discouraged and disheartened. I've seen many in that way, and you may be feeling that way a bit today. It shouldn't be the case, but it is. And it's a lifelong lesson for me anyway to overcome that place of feeling unsure and uncertain about things. But I believe that God can do all things. But when you and I may feel a bit down and out, when we feel God is not equal or up to this situation, we need to start giving God the glory. We need to start praising God and giving God thanks, and we need to start counting our blessings. And the hymn tells us, name them one by one and you shall see what the Lord has done. Instead of feeling sorry for us, instead of wanting to play the victim, so to speak, let's start praising God. See, a believer cannot be downcast and praising God at the same time. You just can't be. Now, the devil wants you to believe that your trial and my trial is just too hard for the Lord. He wants us to be focused on the problem. He wants us to get our eyes on the hardship and the difficulties that we are facing and going through. Well, I can assure you of something, and I can tell you something that is true. The devil hates and is allergic to the praise of God. And if you want him off your back, get on your knees and call out to God. Give him the thanks for all things that he's allowed into your life, because he's stretching your faith. He's bringing you into a closer union and relationship with himself where you can say, I can stand fast on the word of God. I have a God where nothing is impossible for him to handle. He may let me go through that trial, but let me tell you something, if you're looking to him, he will bring you out the other end of it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And there are many good people come to the place where they have had to believe that there's nothing too hard for him. The Bible has many good men, women, and children who had to believe there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Three young boys in a fiery furnace, they had to believe it. Another one in a lion's den, he had to believe it. Christ himself going to the cross, he had to believe it. We looked not long ago in the afternoons at Elijah. Remember, he prayed there'd be no rain, and there was no rain. He prayed for rain, and God sent rain. He called down fire from heaven and it consumed the false God's altar. And God sent down fire from heaven. He has one word from a queen, Jezebel. And then we see him sitting under a juniper tree, downcast, thrown down, and just about willing and wanting to die. Here was a great servant of God. He's down and he's out. His trust and faith in God has been challenged. And he needed God to minister to him. And that's exactly what God did. God fed him with some good food and gave him some water and encouraged him. He needed God to show him that nothing is too hard for the Lord. But Elijah had to allow the Lord to do that. And are we, like Elijah, going to allow the Lord in the times of discouragement and disappointment to minister to us, to show us the great and mighty things that he can do? You know, there's not one promise in God's word that God will not fulfill. Not one. Numbers 23:19 remind us, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? There's some questions for us to answer. You see, that puts us on safe ground, because God must be true to himself. God must be true to his word. And is there any power, is there any circumstance, is there any difficulty from preventing God fulfilling his word? You see, God sees his children as so far, so thoroughly delivered from all that could be against them, that he can take his place in our midst and be heard of them. That's how he sees us, delivered as more than conquerors, set free. See, it's not what we can do. It's all about, is there anything too hard for the Lord? See, it is in what God has done that we stand. His children stand. Our foundation is in Christ. We sang it this morning. And that foundation is as safe and as secure as the throne of God in heaven, where God sits and rules from today. Nothing's surer. Now, if God be for us, finish it for me. Who can be against us? And if God stands between us and every enemy, if God is above every difficulty, every hardship we are in, if he undertakes on our behalf, then surely trust and perfect peace is our lot. Is anything too hard for the Lord? What can't God do? See, we have to hang on to the promises of God. We have to stand on them and we have to live them out. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You see, the promises of God are true and amen. In him they are yea. In him they are amen. You may be thinking, well, we're in the Old Testament. This is Old Testament stuff. Listen, you stand upon the promises of God. We stand upon the word of God. If we tore the Old Testament out, how do we understand the whole of the New Testament? If you want one from the New Testament, I'll give you one. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yea and amen unto the glory of God. How? By us. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us is God. You know what? What are we waiting for? Stand upon every word. Believe every word God has written down. Live out every word of God. There's not one promise that God is incapable of keeping. Not one. The problem for us is when the problems come, we try and sort the problem out. And we're not grounded enough in the Word to rest in Him and trust Him. And we go all around the roundabouts. And God says, here's the exit, take it this way, come to me. And we're on that roundabout. We keep going around trying to work it all out for ourselves. And the more we go around, the dizzier we get. The harder it becomes. And God says, listen, just trust me. Is there anything too hard for me? He says. God is a prayer answering God, people. I have no problem saying that there is not one prayer God cannot answer. Not one. There may be prayers he's saying no to. And he says no to protect us because we don't really know what we really need. He does. But there's no prayer that God cannot answer. Matthew 17:20, Jesus said, if you have faith as grain as a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, it would be fair to say that every one of us here today have a prayer that's unanswered. You see, every good believer cares enough in their heart and their soul is always asking God to do something for them. You see, the obedient believer is always praying without ceasing. They're praying the promises of God and believing that God will come to their help. And we need, as believers, to start believing that nothing is too hard for the Lord. We need to get back to Bible basics. We need to learn the lessons of the men, the women, and the children of the Bible who poured out their hearts and souls unto the Lord and saw the Lord's mighty arm uplift them and save them and set them free. And for believers today, unfortunately, we're making the Bible fit into our system, our lives. Instead of making ourselves fit with what God wants us to do, what God can do for us. And we wonder why at times, well, why isn't God doing anything? Yes, we have our relationship with God, where God's children. But we're not as obedient as we should be, and the relationship is a little bit different than what we think it should be. You know, Isaiah 40:31 tells us that, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We need to get back to that secret place. We need to hop back into the closet and we need to shut that door behind us. Matthew 6:6, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. See, your life and my life behind the door, alone with God, our life praying to our Heavenly Father is far more important, more needed than a life for me like behind a pulpit. For those who are singing in the choir, those teaching out there in Sunday school, those in the youth ministries, those who were out on the outreach ministry yesterday. Those are good, those are important, but nothing's more important than a believer getting alone with God and pouring their hearts out to Him, bringing God into their life, bringing God into the situations and the circumstances that they face, allowing God to have victory through you and Him getting the glory for it. Listen, God is a prayer-answering God. And there are some, myself included, who needs an answer to prayer. The salvation of a loved one, the solution to a problem, removal of a thorn in the flesh. There may be a healing I need. Provision for daily needs. A besetting sin that we need to overcome. There's a God in heaven who is able to do whatever needs to be done. Because there's no prayer that God is not able to answer. You know that this Saturday was 49 years ago I met my wife Deborah. 49 years. Next year will be 50 years ago we met. And I want to say something to you. There is nothing, nothing in this world like a good, godly wife. That's the greatest gift a husband can ever have. Nothing like that in the world. One who loves the Lord, prepared to honor and serve the Lord. You cannot beat that as a husband. The best you're ever going to find. A faithful prayer partner. She was before the Lord this morning. She's the one who hurries me up into the prayer room. She's before the Lord this morning as she does every morning. Even as I'm preaching, she sits there and prays. There's nothing in the world like that for a man to have. And a good godly wife. Every day I know she prays for the people of this church. Prayer's the priority of our lives. The priority of our ministry. We pray from everything, from the running of our home to the running of our vehicles. We pray for everything. To the beating of our hearts. We pray. And I have come to believe that with so much of the false health, wealth and prosperity gospel that floods the screens that believers are so intent on placing before their faces 10 hours a day, that good, solid, Bible-believing Christian folk don't trust and believe God answers prayer anymore. But God is a prayer-answering God because there is nothing too hard for the Lord. God answers prayer. God knows the longing in your heart today. He knows how you and I have cried out to Him so many times. God will not fail. You just keep on praying. The answer will come God's way, not what we may want, but God's way. Because God honors His promises, God honors His word, and God has promised to answer prayer. There is no problem too hard for God to solve. And we all face problems. There are some, could be right now, you've come to church this morning with a huge problem on your shoulders. Let me tell you something, you've done the right thing. Many get a problem and they, like Elijah did for that time, they go and sit under a juniper tree and leave God out of the picture. Some of us may feel like, well, hang on, there's no solution for this. There's no answer to this. Listen, whatever the problem is, you have a God bigger than it. You have a God who has an answer to it. If only we would seek him out. You know, it's a blessing and it's an extraordinary one to know that God truly has the answers for our life and the things we face. Do you remember in Mark chapter 2 and in the verses, the start of the chapter there, we read of some men who carried their friend to a house where Jesus was teaching. And there were so many people, they couldn't get into that house. They couldn't get to see Jesus. They got their friend on the bed and they could have just turned away and given up. They'd heard of what he can do. They knew who he was. They trusted who he was, or they wouldn't have gone there. But they didn't give up. They went up to the roof of the building. Now, in those countries, and especially in those days, the roofs were what we would call our lounge rooms. Downstairs, they had their cooking areas and places to sleep, and that usually had stairs on the side of the building, and it would go up to a mud-packed roof where they would lounge around, and that's where they would take a bit of rest, and that was their entertainment area. And these friends, even though they couldn't get into the room where Jesus was, went up onto that roof. And they broke that roof up and they let their friends down at the feet of Jesus. Now I can just picture that scene. We know from the text that the Pharisees and the scribes, the doctors of the law, were all there. But just imagine Jesus is sitting there in that room. And these men start to dig through that roof. And all of a sudden the room fills up with a little bit dusty. We've all opened the blinds some days, haven't we? And the sun comes in and we see the dust floating around. And that dust is coming around. Then all of a sudden, cakes of mud start hitting the ground as they dig through deeper and deeper. And they break through. And they lower their friend down to Jesus. And Jesus says in Mark 2:5, when he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And he got up and walked. The man at the pool of Siloam, waiting for the trembling of the waters to hop in and be healed, had been there for years and years and years. He had no friends to put him in. And Jesus comes along and he says, "Take up your bed and walk." You see, many would have given up. Many would have been quitters and thrown in the towel. Many would have said, "Well, here's a problem. This is just too big for God. He can't fix this one. God can't solve this one. Too many people in the way. Too many things to overcome. Too many hurdles to jump over. Too many corners to turn. It's too big for the Lord. It's too hard to overcome." Listen, that's the devil speaking to you, brothers and sisters. There's no problem too hard for God to solve. No promise he won't keep. No prayer that he cannot answer. You know, I know people downright defeated by church problems, downright defeated with a home problem, defeated because of some financial problem, flat out defeated by a sin problem, Listen, God has the answer to it all. If we would but draw close to God, search our hearts, and then allow God to search our hearts and be right with Him, we'd have the strength, the faith, and the belief to trust Him to take us all the way through. You know, I've heard it said many a times that there's not going to be any more revivals in our time. I've heard it said a few times previously, a time or two in this church, that revival is past in this country. Well, I'm afraid I can't believe that at all. If we Christians got ourselves right with God, if we Christians met God's conditions, we can have revival. If we would get on our knees and pray, if we would turn from our sins, there'd be revival. Now, that turning from sins, I'm talking to saved people. You can't turn from sin before you're saved. You've got to be saved to turn from sin. What's the point of having an evangelist if there's no revivals? And we prayed 20 years for my parents to be saved. They refused. They denied coming to the Lord. Every time we asked them, they would brush it off. And we said, okay then, well, we stopped getting invited to birthday parties and so forth. We were left out. We kept praying. One day they called us and they wanted to come and see us. And we said, so, well, what's going on here? It was unusual. And when they arrived, we could see they were not right at all, acting very strange. And after a while, when we sat down and they just came out with it, they said, we want what you want. And they accepted the Lord, and from that moment on, they're in glory with Him right now. And the reason I put that there is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything. Is there one promise He won't keep? Tell me. Come on. So you believe there is? There you go. Is there one prayer He can't answer? Tell me. No. One problem He cannot solve? No. Nothing is too hard for the Lord, and with Him, brothers and sisters, all things are possible. Amen? Amen. Ask yourself, what can't the Lord do? And the answer is nothing. There's nothing He can't do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the precious words that You gave to Abraham, for the precious words we hold in our hands. Every word from You, Lord, is yea and amen. And Father, help us to acknowledge that. May our hearts be challenged by Your Spirit today to believe that there is nothing too hard for You. There is nothing impossible with You. That we rest in You, Lord, and we trust You. And we keep on keeping on, Father, for Your honor and for Your glory, not just for our benefit. And we thank You, Father, that our prayers are not in vain. Our hope, Lord, is not hopeless. We can trust because You are a living God. And we pray that all the problems, all the difficulties, the situations we face in life, we remember, Lord, You asked the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? All we can say is no. Bless it, Lord, to our hearts and our lives. We pray if there's anyone here today who's not saved, Lord, who does not know You in a personal relationship. They may have a knowledge about You, but they do not know You in their heart. that, Lord, if the Holy Spirit has pricked their conscience, we pray they not leave today until they settle their eternal question. Lord, if they're thinking, well, who can save me? Who could forgive the things I have done? Jesus Christ has already done that through his shed blood. You need only apply it to your life. And we pray, Lord, the lost be saved. And we pray the saved, Lord, we would adjust ourselves to you and trust you for all things. And we ask these things, Lord, in the precious name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.